Mark 7:24, and it says, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs are under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Verse 31, and again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And let's pray, and then we'll be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the understanding that it brings, the illumination it brings. We thank you that we can understand the ways of God. We can see how God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, moved and what he said and what he did here upon this earth. And Lord, we thank you for how he speaks to us today through the word of God. Lord, I pray that the word of God would find place in our hearts. I pray that you would use this story of this dear lady who is in desperate need to speak to our own need today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to find ourselves, along with this woman, at the feet of the Lord Jesus, petitioning him and finding grace in the time of need. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning, whatever the need of the hour is. I'm sure there's some here that need salvation. They need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there's many who know you but have a burden in their heart. We need to understand this example given forth in Scripture today and just take heed to it. I pray that you help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The mission statement of our Lord was that he was come to seek and to save that which is lost. He is the good shepherd. He leaves the 99 and he goes and seeks after his lost sheep. The Bible tells us that he seeks until he finds it. The Lord Jesus Christ never gives up. The Lord Jesus Christ is after his sheep, and he goes and he searches continually after his sheep until he finds them, till he restores them and brings them back into the fold. Now, the Gospel of Mark was written by Mark to the Romans or to the Gentile community. There is nothing in there about genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant of mankind. And here we have a story of a Gentile woman, a Greek woman, a Syrophoenician woman being saved. Now, this doesn't mean too much to us, but there, during the Jewish culture, it was just a really strong sense of nationalism. Most Jewish people were willing to die, and we see many revolts against the Roman Empire. Many of them were squashed, but people zealous over the Jewish nation and the promises that God gave to Abraham concerning their Messiah that was to come, and their antagonism towards the nations that were outside of the Jewish covenant. I don't think that this morning that we have anybody of direct Jewish lineage here, so we would all be Gentiles. We would all be not Jews, but we would be considered Greeks. We'd be considered the outside world. And so this was important for people to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was open and willing to seek and to save those that were in the lowest point to the uttermost. We see in our story that the Lord Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon. And as soon as he met this lady there with this need, and he met her need and cured her daughter that had a devil, that it says that immediately he departed. And so the Lord was going directly to her. Now, when we read this story, it might be a little confusing because we would think that the Lord wants nothing to do with this woman and that the Lord is rejecting this woman's petition. The Lord is rejecting this woman's cry to him. But we see in actuality what the Lord is doing is when he is going out of his way, what it looks like to avoid a woman, he's actually going out of his way to help her. Now you and I, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in the school of faith. We understand this, that salvation comes not by good works. We're having baptism service this morning. It does not come by baptism. Baptism, you just obey the Lord and follow him in believer's baptism after you receive him as Savior. But what salvation is he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, shall be saved. I don't believe in my own works, but I believe in the works that Jesus Christ did for me on that cross, and I trust his work that he did 2,000 years ago when he died for sins, when he was buried, and when he rose again. I believe that he has the power to forgive me of my sins and that he alone is a Savior. I'm not my own Savior. I can't work my way to heaven. He alone can save me, and what I have to do is cry out in faith to him to be my Savior, to be my deliverer. And once we do that, I did that when I was 22. I was 15 years ago. If you do the math, yes, I'm 37 years old. So when I was 22, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Now, that wasn't a beginning and an end all to my faith. You know, that was day number one of my faith life. And God is in the business of developing my faith. I am to grow in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see all the people in the Bible who did great works for God. We see them, it's just the Old Testament believers, we see them in Hebrews chapter number 11. It says, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. How did they do the great works for God? They did it one way, they did it by faith. And you know, faith is always demonstrated in what you do outwardly. If I said this morning that this roof, all that lath and plaster and that big dome above your heads, that's going to come crashing down on your head in 30 seconds if you're not out of this room. Now, if you believe that and you had faith in what I said, what would you do? You would run for your life. You would get out of this room. And so we see if we faith the Lord, if we have belief in him, it's going to eventually be demonstrated in our life. There's certain behavior. James said this, faith without works is dead. And you cannot say, I have faith in Jesus Christ and do not do the things that he commanded, or do not place your faith in him to take you to heaven. It is just not so. But you see this woman here in our chapter, as the Lord Jesus comes to her coast and comes to her city, that this Syrophoenician woman, that she comes to the Lord with her great heavy heart's burden. I want you to notice who she was seeking the Lord for. It was not for herself, but it was for her daughter, for her child. And if you understand, if you're a parent, you understand that you're more concerned about your child's well-being than you are for your own well-being. And so she was very burdened. She was beside herself. Her daughter was in a bad way. It says that her daughter was demonically possessed. She was possessed of a devil. Now, this was a very ungodly area. This was a idolatrous area. This was Jezebel's hometown. Jezebel was from the town of the Zidonians, Sidon. They worshipped Ashtaroth there, and it had a history. And we see that Jezebel, as she worshipped pagan idols, so did these ancestors of her worship pagan idols. Let me encourage you this morning, if you're a single fella, don't ever marry a woman named Jezebel, okay? That's a bad lady. And here, this is the town that she was from. And her background, most likely that she grew up, and she would go into these places of pagan worship, and she would worship pagan deities. And the Bible says that that these pagans worship devils. They worship demonic beings. And I want you to understand something, is that the Bible talks about familiar spirits. It says those that worship pagan deities, they're going to curse their generation. How many are second and third generation Christians? Do you have somebody like maybe grandma or whoever, somebody in your family was a born again child of God? My 94-year-old grandmother is a born again Christian. And I think of how she has bent the tree of the young family tree towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have benefited as we follow in her footsteps. And you can, God doesn't just arbitrarily curse children of pagans, but they have turned their family in an evil way. So we had to be careful, because no man's an island. Let me tell you, if you're an older sibling, man, you can influence the younger siblings to do evil. You know, peer pressure is a very strong thing. So we'd have to guess and speculate that her daughter, who was possessed by a devil, it was no accident, because the ancestors in this area was an idolatrous area. This woman, and in this day and age, a woman by herself petitioning something on behalf of her family is something that would be out of culture and out of sync, that the man of the household, he would be the one that would go and speak for his family to the Lord Jesus Christ and approach another man about concern for his daughter. So we don't know what's going on even with the man of the house. Where is he at? Perhaps he is a pagan. Perhaps he's not even in the picture. Perhaps she's like the woman at the well, who has known multiple men and has just a history and of sin and ungodliness. But she approaches the Lord here. Now there's two people in the Bible that the Lord Jesus speaks of their great faith. One is this woman. We're going to turn to Matthew here in a minute, and we're going to see Matthew's version of the story here, and he adds a little bit to Mark. But we see that she has great faith, this woman, great faith. And then there's another person in the Bible, only two people there in the gospel story that the Lord says that they have great faith, was this woman, and then also we see the Roman centurion. And the Roman centurion was also someone outside of the Commonwealth of Israel, someone outside of the blessings of Abraham, and someone outside of that covenant promise, that Davidic covenant promise. And the Lord commends their faith. You remember the Roman centurion came on behalf of one of his servants, and he says, "Lord, just say the word, and my servant is going to live." That's how much faith he had in God. Let me remind you what it says in Hebrews. How do we please God? It says, "For without faith, it is impossible to please God." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if we need faith to please God, and this woman was a woman of great faith, we ought to examine her faith and say, what are the characteristics of this woman's faith that pleased the Lord Jesus so well? Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15, we see in verse number 21, it says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon." Matthew says here in verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Verse 23, it says, "And he answered her not a word, and the disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, I am sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not me to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. I want you to notice the first thing about her faith as she approaches the Lord. Now remember this again. It wasn't that the Lord didn't love this woman. It wasn't that he wasn't a merciful Savior. It wasn't that he did not care or empathize with her and with her daughter's situation. But here we see the Lord testing her faith. Remember, he goes specifically to this area. When he deals with this woman, he immediately leaves. So he has a divine appointment with her. Just like the woman at the well, I must needs go through Samaria. Why? I have an appointment with a woman at a well. And so again, when sometimes it looks like the Lord, like the heavens are silent, and that the Lord is not responding back to our cry, he's actually gone out of the way to help us. The first thing here we see about this woman's faith is that it is a persistent faith. She is persistent, number one, despite her history. Remember, she comes from a pagan background. She couldn't boast that she was from the tribe of such and such, a daughter of Abraham, and she grew up going to the temple and worshiping Jehovah and going to the synagogue. She did not have a good history. Remember, the people who overwhelmingly received the message of John the Baptist and the message of Christ were publicans and sinners. And she was, man, she was at every disadvantage. She had a history. It's funny, you know, you go to jail, get arrested and you go to jail. Or you go in there for the jail ministry. Man, it's a wonderful ministry to be a part of. You know, I got pulled over. Brother Dan was in the car, and I was going 75 in a 60-mile-an-hour zone. I got pulled over. I was doing the Lord's work. Sometimes you got to, you know, drive furiously like Jehu. I was following the guy in front of me, okay? And that's the excuse I told the officer, and he didn't buy it. But then he looked at my sheriff's badge, Brother Chartier, and he says, okay, you know, keep it down, Mr. Young. And your inspections expired too. Okay? And he handed that back to me. And I looked at Brother Dan and said, there's got to be some benefit for serving the Lord, you know? You know, not only rewards in heaven, there's got to be a little bit kickback here on earth, right? And so, but you go into the jail and you preach to those guys, you try to get them to understand that, you know, when you come into a church service, and I've been in God's house for a little bit of time, that the people usually who serve the Lord the most zealously are the people who have been forgiven the most and have the roughest background, and they know what God has done in their life. And you come in, you might be fooled because you look around, you see all these people that look nice and they smell nice and they don't look hungover and they don't look like they have an addiction problem or anything like this. You think these people were born and raised in church and I just cannot identify with them. I want to say that I've been serving the Lord in several different churches, and that is not the case, not the case, not the case. That you and I, we have stories of deliverance about how that God took us from the bonds of sin and he changed us and gave us a new life to live, and that he gave us liberty from the bonds and the drags of sin. And so you see in the ministry of Christ, not very many Pharisees. There's a couple, you know, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. But they didn't really join up ranks until after Christ was dead and risen again and things. You see very few of them, but you see people at great disadvantages. Let me remind you this, the devil's the accuser of the brethren. So he comes up and he says, you ain't worthy of having your daughter delivered. You know, I know and you know, what kind of life you've lived. You're not worthy. And you know what? That's a good point to agree with. You know what? I am not worthy. I'm just a sinner, but I know a Savior. Notice the cry of her heart. Lord, have mercy on me. She knew that she needed mercy. Our Lord tells us a parable of the publican and the sinner that went into the house to pray. And the Pharisee lifted up his eyes to heaven. And the funny thing is, it says, the Bible says, he prayed to himself. The Pharisee prayed to himself, right? Lord, I want to thank you that I'm not like other people are, and he talks about all the good things they did, or like this publican over here. And what did the publican do? Say, Lord, he didn't even lift up his eyes, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And it says that the publican left justified. You know what justified means? Just as if I never sinned. He had no record on his account, because those who seek mercy from Christ will find mercy. So she was persistent with the Savior despite her history. She was persistent despite no answer, seemingly, from heaven. No answer from heaven. She was persistent despite the rejection of the disciples. Many times the disciples of the Lord were in the send them away ministry. I mean, the 5,000, send them away. Lord, the blind man, send them away. This lady, please send them away. Send her away, Lord. And so here's disciples saying, get the Syrophoenician lady out of here, Lord. Tell her to go. We see the attitude of the Jewish people demonstrated in the little book of Jonah. You know, Jonah ran from God and fled from God, not because he thought, those Ninevites are a bunch of reprobates, they won't repent. You know what Jonah was afraid of? This pagan Ninevites, capital Assyria, these people, these enemy of the Jews, he was afraid that they would repent. And he knew how merciful God was. And he didn't want those pagans to receive any blessings from God. That was the attitude of the Jewish people. And you see the disciples, imagine this. Here's God's people saying, get this woman out of here. She's a troublemaker. She's bothering. She's disturbing us, the rest of us Jews who want to hear what you have to say. She persisted. I have this question. Why persistence? Why does persistence matter? You know, God doesn't give you everything up front. He can hear. God can hear. Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. The Lord will receive. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Seek the Lord, the Bible says, while he may be found. And draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. No one's ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ and been rejected. He receives. But you know, the number one issue in my life, and the number one issue in your life, and the number one reason for conflict and trouble in our lives is that you and I might develop a relationship with God. You know, we see after the fall of mankind, after man ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that God says this to Adam. He says, I have cursed the ground for thy sake. He didn't say, Adam, I've cursed the ground. I've made thorns. I've made the vegetables hard to grow. He didn't say, I've shortened your life and caused death and pain and suffering because I'm chastising you, because I'm punishing you. He says, I've cursed the ground. He says, for your sake. You know, if you never had a problem in this life, you would never look up. David said this, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. You know what the Lord did for his beloved apostle who wrote a third of your New Testament? The apostle Paul was given a thorn in the side, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And here's what buffet means, that Satan, we don't know exactly what this was, but Paul did. And I don't even think we need to know what it is, because we might have our own thorn in the side where Satan could come up and just pummel him and punch him and punch him. He says three times. He says, I ask the Lord to deliver me from this thorn. Deliver me from this thorn. And the response from heaven was, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what we find out when, you know, the outlook looks bleak? That the uplook always looks glorious. That God puts problems in our life, and He puts troubles in our life, and He puts circumstances and situations, and mark it down. The Bible says man's days are short and full of troubles. You know, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. I promise you, for as long as you live, there's always going to be afflictions. And God has done this for your benefit and mine so that we may seek Him. God's in the business of developing our faith to get closer and closer to Him. This lady's prayer life was increased because the Lord ignored her and she had to get closer, and we see that she ends up down at the feet of the Savior. She ends up worshiping Him. You know, the Bible says that He makes all things beautiful in His time. In His time, not ours. Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God and are called called according to His purpose. So if I am submitted to God's plan for my life, listen, the Lord was going to heal that daughter, but He was going to heal her in His time and not hers. You ever go to Walmart? Okay, that's 100% of you. Raise your hand if you never go to Walmart. Okay, there. Good job, man. I'm proud of you. If you ever lose your wife, you don't know where she's at, just go to Walmart if you find her there. And go to Walmart, you see the kid kicking and screaming on the floor. And okay, Johnny, if you'll just stop kicking and screaming, I'll get you that candy bar that you want. Good parent, bad parent. Bad parent. You know, there's certain times for certain things and certain responsibilities. For instance, always carry a pocket knife with me. I got two boys, man, they love guns and they love knives. You come to our house, you might get shot, you might get stabbed. But you know, is it going to be a Nerf gun or it's going to be a Nerf knife, okay? You know, my six-year-old is not ready for a real knife. You know, he can ask me all he wants for that little orange knife right there, and he would love it. I mean, he would, from the bottom of his heart, he would love it. And from the bottom of his heart, he'd appreciate that. I'd be the dad for the day. I mean, the best dad in the whole world for the whole day. But I know that I would be a bad father if I gave that to him. And you know, there's coming a day, however, a proud day in my life, where I'll say, here, son, here is your very first pocket knife. I don't know what I'll do first, probably dull it out on a rock and then hand it to him. And then someday he'll have his very own gun, they'll have their gun, and then someday I'll even let him get behind the wheel of a car. That's scary, isn't it? But you know, there's going to be some development that is going to go on. You know, God is developing you. He's developing me. He's developing this woman. Persistent prayer makes me closer to Christ. Some of you, you know, you have experienced this. You have a heart's burden, and you go in, and you go before the Lord. You pour your heart out before the Lord, and you have a time of prayer and seeking Him, and you realize that that you come out of that prayer closet. You might not have changed God's opinion. You might not have got the answer in that prayer closet, but you're the one who comes out changed. You know, you'll never be the parent God wants you to be until you're the prayer God wants you to be. You'll never be the church member that God wants you to be until you are the prayer that God wants you to be. You'll never be the good co-worker that God wants you to be until you're the good prayer that God wants you to be. That prayer changes things, yes, but prayer changes the prayer as well. That you see that she is developing a closer relationship to God. There's two different illustrations that the Lord gave us. One is in Luke chapter number 11, and one is in Luke chapter number 18. Two parables. One is the parable of the importune friend. The person gets neighbors in the middle of the night. They do not have bread, and they go to their next door neighbor for bread. And the neighbor knocks, on the door, the neighbor says, I and my children are all in bed, I cannot give you bread. But it says, because they continued knocking for bread, they finally got out of bed and gave them the bread that they needed. And here's what the promise was. Knock, and shall be open to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. The story in Luke chapter number 18. There's a woman who's seeking justice on behalf of her son. And there was an unjust judge. And the unjust judge says, I neither fear God nor I fear man. But this woman kept on coming before the judge and kept on coming before the judge and kept on coming before the judge. He says, because of this woman, he says, I will give her justice. Let me tell you something. God is a friendly neighbor. God is not an unjust judge. How much more does God reward them that seek him? She was persistent. She was persistent in her faith. Another thing I want you to notice here is that she worshiped. She was persistent in her worship. Great faith worships. Look at verse number 25. Look at verse 24 again. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It says, then she came and worshiped him. I want you to notice here that she did not worship God for what he was doing for her. She worshiped God because of who he was. You know, you hear people say, you know, I used to go to church and I used to serve God, but God let this happen. You know what Job said? He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord Jesus Christ says, no, I am not going. I'm come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And here he says, you are from the wrong race. And she still worships him. We have a lot of health and wealth gospel preaching in our culture and in our society that would treat the Lord Jesus Christ as if he were an ATM machine. I heard the story. It's a cute little story about a boy, this last week. It was mom's birthday, so we all went out and got her birthday cards, and then we got a balloon. The balloon wasn't really for Julie, it was really for Teddy, okay, our two-year-old. And what we did with it, we tied that balloon to arm. And the story is, the boy goes to the circus, goes to the fair, gets a balloon, he ties it around his arm. Every time he wants to see his balloon, he pulls down that balloon and holds onto that balloon and lets it go back up there. And a little while they're walking along, oh yeah, pulls down the balloon, holds it for a while, lets it go back up there. There's a lot of times people are tempted to treat God like that. That God is just a means to an end. That he is our lucky rabbit's foot to get us what we want. A good job, get our spouse acting right, you know, get our children and our house in order, keep us healthy and safe. But God is in the business of developing relationship, and that relationship is worship. And the Bible says this, that all things are made for his glory. And so this woman was made to worship the Lord, and she realized that it was her duty, that she was going to worship God no matter what the situation, that she was going to worship him, and she worshiped him. Look at the next thing here. Great faith is humble. It's humble. Verse number 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Imagine this. She comes to the Lord, and disciples say, get away from the Savior. Lord, send her away. She's bothering our group here. She's bothering our time together with you. Send her away. And then she's talking to the Lord, and it says the Lord answered her not a word. So imagine after church, and I'm in the back, talking to people, and you come up and say, hey, Pastor, you know, I've got a question for you, and I turn away, and I answer you not a word. Be really nice, right? And so the Lord doesn't answer. He stays silent, pretends like she does not even exist. And then when he finally does answer her after she's worshiping him, I mean, if she's worshiping in truth, he says, Jesus, thou son of David. And she says, Lord, says, you are the Messiah, you are God. And when she calls him Lord, saying that you are my sovereign over me, you are in charge. She's given the Lord place in the life. And he says, well, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to give it to dogs. Now, somebody called your wife a dog, or your sister a dog, or somebody, it would be a big insult, right? Big insult. Now, we live in a day and age where we spend more on our pets than we do on our children, right? And we put our pets in a stroller and push them down to the barbers and, you know, get them back with bows in their hair and all this stuff. And we love our dogs. We love our dogs. And they sleep with us at night and all of that. Well, this day and age, which the Lord lived, and some of you have been in Eastern cultures where dogs are the filth eaters. They're the dirty animals. I mean, they're rats, you know, that serve, or like seagulls that serve a purpose just to clean up the filth of society. And this was the day and age which the Lord lived. So when he called her a dog, it was a great insult to be called a dog. And I want you to notice her humble faith. She says, yea, Lord. You know what? She agreed with the Lord about how the Lord saw her. Yea, Lord. But even the dogs. I want you to notice here too, is that she's saying, I'm here. And there was children of Israel around there. I'm just here. You're feeding your children. Okay, you're feeding the children of Israel at this time. You come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not of the house of Israel. Maybe I don't belong in this crowd here. And maybe I am an outcast Gentile and I'm nothing more than a dog. However, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You see, she wasn't looking for a place. She wasn't looking for a position. She was just looking for a blessing from the Lord. This was a great humble faith as she went to the Lord. You know what the gospel message is, folks? All have sinned. You know, there is no way to sugarcoat that, folks, but you and I are hell-bound, undeserving sinners. And you know what we need? We need a crumb from the master's table. Here's the wonderful thing. She wasn't coming. You know how you get answers to prayer? You don't come on your own merit and say, well, I've been pretty good, you know. I put some money in the offering plate and I brought my Bible to church today and I'm going to try this Bible reading program for the month of January. Amen, amen, and amen. Good job for that. But you know, I can't go into the prayer closet and say, hey, I'm going to read my Bible the month of January. I'm going to read through the New Testament. I deserve some prayers answered. You know how she got her prayers answered? Just saying, Lord, I don't deserve any of this. All I am asking for is for your mercy. And he says, daughter, you know what she didn't have? She didn't have faith in herself. Wasn't the power of positive thinking. She had faith. And let me tell you something. Faith is only as good as its object. Who does she have faith in? The Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. When you humble yourself in the sight of God, the Bible says, He will lift you up. Remember this about this great faith, is that it was a persistent faith. She didn't quit. It was a worshiping faith. And it was a humble faith. Let's all stand together this morning. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you that You're a God who is nigh at hand and not a God far off. Lord, we thank you that you care about us this morning. Lord, we thank you that you're developing us. You're bringing us closer to yourself. We thank you that you're a God who answers prayers, not because we're good, not because we do things right, but because you're a God of all mercy and all grace. Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to learn from this woman's great faith. May we apply these lessons to our life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As a pianist plays this morning, just by a testimony of uplifted hand, you say, I know for sure if I were to die that I'd go to heaven. I know for sure that I'm saved. Heads bound and eyes closed, you slip up your hand and say, I know for sure that if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. God bless you. I know I'm saved. You're here and you say, there's some doubts in my life. I'm not 100% certain that the Lord Jesus Christ is in my heart and in my life. Would you pray for me? That's my prayer this morning. Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. The altar's open. However God spoke to your heart, speak to him.